Our Savior, welcome and good morning, everybody, to the Our Savior Lutheran 10 o'clock worship service. If you're listening on the radio, you're doing so at 1380 a.m., and it's 11 o'clock for you. Second Sunday of Easter. We're thankful you're here to worship with us. My name is Brad. I will be assisting with my wife, Helen, our worship leader, Pastor Charlie Martin. We have some recorded music today. And thanks to Jennifer for her wonderful vocals and to Bill for running the soundboard. In today's gospel, the risen Christ appears to the disciples and offers them the gift of peace. Even amid doubts and questions, we experience the resurrection in our Sunday gathering around word and meal and in our everyday lives. Throughout the coming days of Easter, the first two readings will be from the Acts of the Apostles and the letter of Peter. Even as the early Christians proclaimed the resurrection, we rejoice in the new birth and living hope we receive in baptism. Also, I should add, we are very thankful to our anonymous longtime donor for sponsoring this radio broadcast.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean. Quench our thirst and nurture both crops and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving water of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of the new creation. Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's need through this living water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reigns forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we, who have not seen, have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
After the Holy Spirit comes to the apostles on Pentecost, Peter preaches the gospel to the gathered crowd. He tells them that Jesus, who obediently went to his death according to God's plan, was raised from the dead by God. Finally, he appeals to Scripture, quoting Psalm 16, 8 through 11, to show that Jesus is the Messiah. Though crucified, the risen Jesus is now enthroned. Our first reading is from Acts, second chapter, selected verses. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and is in his tomb with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put on one of his descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, "He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 16 with the antiphon, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my God above all other.
All my delight is in the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names upon my lips.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
In your presence there is fullness of joy.
Our hymn of praise, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, 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 Lord, my God, Almighty, early.
This epistle was written to encourage Christians experiencing hardships and suffering because of their faith in Christ. The letter opens by blessing God for the living hope we have through Christ's resurrection, even amid circumstances and surroundings. Our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given to us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Join with me in the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Alleluia. Our gospel is from St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. Doubt is something that is pervasive, that we carry around with us all the time, whether we want to admit it or not. If someone tells us about a magician they saw or some show on TV or a movie, we might doubt whether we would find it quite as good as they have decided that it is. My daughter pulled me in to watch a magician on television one night, Eric Shin, who is very good with his acts with cards and making them appear out of nowhere unexpectedly. With magic acts, we know that our doubt that anyone can really do what they perform is well-founded, that it definitely is a trick that they have become accomplished at. It still makes it fun to watch, though. So we have some doubt with what is said, certainly, either by our friends or by people who seem to make promises that we know they just can't really keep. If we end up sometime on a jury, one of the aspects of a defense lawyer is to try to get us to have what is called reasonable doubt, that says that we're not really quite sure that what happened is not really quite what is being presented by the prosecution. That allows for the defendant to be released and proclaimed not guilty. Doubt also can be a good thing for us when we go and get a second opinion for some serious medical condition. Self-doubt, which does affect a lot of people, can in fact be harmful to them and for them to be able to function within society. Sometimes, however, our doubt is just something that makes us question if we're really capable of doing something, like hiking along an unknown trail. I can remember this feeling when I ventured into a nature preserve in Florida once, and that had very little signage and no information on how long a trail was or where it went or even which are the right turns to make to actually follow it. I thought that I might be stuck on that trail for quite a long time that afternoon. Most of our prophets in the Bible were doubters when God asked them to do something. Moses, who we just started discussing in our Bible study class this last week, didn't think he was the right person to lead the Israelites out of Egypt or to go tell Pharaoh that he really needed to release them. He even said that he just didn't really speak that well. All this helps us to see Thomas, while doubting, is really just wanting to verify what he has been told by the other disciples. The other disciples all had this close-up personal experience with the resurrected Christ, seeing his hands and his side before they really knew that it really was him. So Thomas was only asking for what they all had experienced. They had experienced that very first visit of Jesus after the resurrection. So they had this advantage over Thomas. He was one of the 12, so he really just wanted what everybody else had. We need to remember that there was no prior resurrection story to go by, that Jesus was teaching them about the resurrection by showing himself to them. He was teaching the disciples, who then have taught us through their gospels, what resurrection was really all about, and resolve any of our doubts. Jesus blesses all that will follow. Hear what the disciples have to say and believe in him and his resurrection. That includes all of us. What do we have that helps us to not doubt, but believe? As John states in his gospel, The stories of the signs of Jesus as the Messiah that he includes with all that Jesus did are written down so that we can take them in and fully believe in Jesus as the Messiah. Not only do we believe, but we are sent by Jesus in this gospel. In order to do his will, we first need to resolve any of our doubts and deeply believe in Jesus ourselves. Jesus is present with us, and we can have our own personal experiences of with the risen Christ and through the Holy Spirit acting in our lives. We come to church and we are fed with stories that show the risen Christ acting in the world all around us for our sake. There are people who live in doubt and fear in our own time, for whom we are the ones who can provide them with the peace that they need offered to them. Many of the refugees gathered at our southern border have fled corrupt governments that allow gang violence to actually be the ones ruling the countries. In effect, they are away hiding from those who would persecute them, just as the disciples were hiding from the Jewish authorities and the Roman soldiers that wished to eliminate all followers of Jesus. This not only threatened the disciples right after Jesus' resurrection, but also very much impacted the people that were listening to John tell this story, and later on reading his gospel long after the events of Jesus' death and resurrection. We might be surprised to know of another story, this one in Japan, where followers of Christ had to go into hiding back in the 1500s after missionaries first came to that land, bringing Christianity through their Catholic faith to the people of Japan. Catholicism only had about 40 years to take root in Japan before the military ruler Hideyoshi Toyotomi, I had to really watch that to try to even get close to pronouncing it right, banned Christianity and kicked out the missionaries. Catholics went underground. A Japanese hidden Christian wall scroll depicts the Virgin Mary holding a young Jesus Christ with two saints looking on. To avoid persecution, the hidden Christians disguise their religion under a veneer of Buddhist and Shinto imagery. They disguise their images of Jesus and Mary to look like Buddhas. They camouflage their prayers to sound like Buddhist chants. The faithful organized into groups of households, which even today jointly own ritual objects and hold collective religious services in these homes. Japan's Meiji government lifted the ban on Christianity in 1873. Some hidden Christians came out and rejoined a public Catholic church, but many others chose to continue to live in doubt of this new religious freedom and remained in hiding even to this day. The hidden Christians have remained closeted for nearly 4.5 centuries, long after the threat of persecution had lifted. This is what threats to life or faith can do, have these long-lasting effects. The belief of these followers has to be very strong and without doubt to have dealt with this persecution and go to the extremes that they did just to exercise their faith. They fully heard the words of peace offered to them by Jesus and took this to heart, deciding that his peace is what they really need to propagate in their world. They fully trust that the risen Christ is real and true and offers us the peace that only he can provide. Many people these days look in lots of places for peace in their lives, and they live in unresolved doubt whether they recognize it or not. They try to find peace through TV shows or movies or leisure activities. What we can share with them is the true peace that resolves doubt and can only come from Christ, who forgives and refreshes us. Peace is a place we can only go to after we are forgiven. As disciples, we are told to go out forgiving others and embrace those who struggle to have faith, not to retain their sins, not to tell them they are not forgiven. We bring them close to us, forgiving them and loving them as Jesus has loved us. We help them to get past their doubt of forgiveness and move to a place of belief in Jesus and all that he said and did. We lift up the words of Peter, who moved from denying Jesus in doubt on Maundy Thursday to preaching with deep faith and conviction in the days of Acts and later on in his own book. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire and may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice in an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen.
Good to me, his word.
Let us pray. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
God of rebirth, the good news of your resurrection brings refreshment to a weary world. Following the women at the tomb, empower us to boldly share your radical love through our words and our work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As you breathed your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon all creation. Nourish the earth with sufficient rains. Strengthen us to counter the effects of pollution and destruction. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You prepared the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equip our community's leaders. Give them a spirit of peace and hearts that burn for justice, that their leadership reflects your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You come among us in unexpected ways. Send us to those who hide in fear or question your love. Be a healing presence for any isolated by addiction, incarceration, mental illness, chronic pain, sickness, or grief. Especially this day, we remember in our prayers Tom Bachman, Donna Barnish, Deb Cook, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Gordon Doty, Diana Haynes and family, David and Karen Hooven, Kurt Langoff, Pastor Charlie Martin, Sherry Mosierak, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, Carl Rich, Sandy Smith, Douglas Weaver, the father of Kim Edwards, Pastor Joyce, Pastor Ken Steib, and their son Mason. We also remember the family and friends of Jim Davidson, Lois Parker, Brenda Wickings, and Joyce Wolven, with their passing. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence along our journeys. Bless our doubts and questions. Provide trusting and safe relationships for all ages to nurture our connection to you and to one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Resurrecting God, you bring us to new life every day. Thank you for blessing us with companions on our faith journey, especially those who now rest in your love. Strengthen us with the eternal peace of your promises. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
We thank all who continue to support our Christian ministry and the financial aspects of this church. Thank you so very much. We have a few announcements to share with you this morning. Our council met last Tuesday. It was a wonderful meeting. One of the things that was decided is that we are going to be continued to support to the elementary school, Woodrow Wilson, and we will be holding a monetary drive. We're going to place a container in the back, and all who would like to participate can, and we will then delegate a shopper to then go and purchase snacks in bulk sizes to support the children during their Read for Life program. We'd also like to encourage any musically talented people to keep tuned in. We're going to have another combined choir. This time, we will be performing for the Synod Assembly, and that will be taking place May 18th through the 20th. So any and all who would be interested, please share with your family and friends. Encourage them to do this. Also, I'd like to mention there will not be a Bible study this week due to a retreat that Pastor Charlie will be attending, which will also be very, very convenient for the work that will be taking place outside of the church this week. And we thank those who have taken care of that. The building has lots of needs and are always needed to be attended to. So thank you so much. And with that, we will listen to our offering hymn. This is the feast.
Slain
Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out into service to the world. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Please rise as you are able. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit, with your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray with confidence in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated until we call you forward. Come and know Christ, broken and poured out for you. Given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. Please rise as you are able. And now may the blood and body of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in your name. Amen. Now may the God of all, who raised Jesus from the dead, bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit to live in the new creation. Amen. You may be seated for the sending hymn.